This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy, and I'm here today with Abby Kearns from Cloud Foundry.
Hi, thank you for having me, Ian.
You've had a really busy time lately. You've only just got over your own conference and you're here at another one. Can you give us a quick update on how Boston went?
Tis the conference season. Boston was amazing. It was, I feel like, our best Cloud Foundry Summit to date. We had a little over 1,500 attendees. The content and the conversation was so rich and was so great. I really just enjoyed it. About half of our attendees at Cloud Foundry Summit are end users. And so it's really great to hear from a variety of end users what they're doing and what's important to them. We had quite a few announcements at Boston. We announced our newest gold member, which is Alibaba Cloud. They are a gold member, but they also recently merged the Alibaba Cloud CPI in the upstream. Now that if you're running Cloud Foundry, you can now also run Cloud Foundry on Alibaba Cloud, which is a really exciting extension. We're spending a lot of time in China this year, and it's really nice to see the ecosystem really begin to grow out there. So having Alibaba now alongside Huawei and Mopas, it's really nice to see the market in China really take an interest in Cloud Foundry.
There's a lot going on in China. Cloud Native Foundation is just announcing Alibaba as a major member here. What's driving cloud out in China?
Well, China is such an interesting market right now. There is a lot going on. One, cloud is one of the top five priorities for the country as a whole in China this year. So that's definitely from a top down. The investments are going into cloud beyond just Alibaba. Alibaba is still the leading cloud provider, public cloud provider there. But there's also obviously Tencent and Baidu and Huawei and Wanda that are really rounding out the top public cloud providers in China. You also want to pair that with digital transformation that started in North America about 3+ years ago, and Europe about 18 months ago was really now hitting China. Organizations in China are now wanting to develop cloud-native applications and run their workloads in their public cloud. This is all converging at one time, which is really becoming a really amazing market for me personally with Cloud Foundry. But really, they're also their renewed interest in open source. So it's an exciting opportunity in China, and I think we're going to see a lot from the public cloud providers in China this year.
If we look at Europe, masses of legacy software. It's made digital transformation difficult. More importantly, it's made moving to the cloud quite a complicated problem for companies. Their early thoughts of just throwing their software into the cloud and now realizing they need to completely rewrite and start from scratch isn't mirrored by the history of computing within China. How much does that help to accelerate them?
In China, it's a little bit different in that they move a lot faster than the rest of the world. While I don't think we should pay that close of attention to the fact that they're starting to really invest heavily in digital transformation a few years behind North America, but I think we should instead watch very closely how they will pick those trends up, invest in those technologies quickly, and really easily and quickly move to the cloud. So I think by the end of this year, going into 2019, they're going to definitely be up and running and taking advantage of these technologies pretty quickly.
There's another side to digital transformation. One is linking companies together with APIs. The other is becoming a cloud-native application without any legacy software. Are you seeing China leading the way then in writing applications purely for the cloud?
Well, I think we're seeing that globally. Right now, predictions are, in the next 2 years, 100% growth in cloud-native applications by enterprises. Cloud-native application architectures, which for people that don't understand, are applications that are written to take advantage of all of the fluidity and the flexibility the cloud offers. We're starting to see an uptick in those. I don't think that we'll be off of legacy applications in the next 5 years. I think that it's going to take a lot longer. But that's also why multi-cloud is so important. We saw from our user base that nearly half are already running multi-cloud. That's half of our users are already running multi-cloud across a variety of on-prem and public clouds. But 92%, so nearly everyone that recently took our user survey, cite flexibility, and specifically cross-platform flexibility, is of priority importance to them. And so that really speaks to both the choice that anyone adopting cloud native cares about, but the opportunity that offers. And I think that's a great opportunity for us collectively as we think about both cloud native technologies, but also the power of open source and the role that is going to continue to play for enterprise organizations around the world.
Those technologies underpinning cloud are changing quite a lot. 4 years ago, we were just starting to talk about containers. Now it's almost the only conversation going on. How much does that rapid change of the structure of the cloud and how we deliver complicate the writing of applications?
We talk a lot about technology, but there is no magic in tech. Tech's amazing and it's so awesome and APIs are super great, but there's no magic there. A lot of the heavy lift that comes to writing these apps, the only reason they're writing these applications is to have velocity. They're really wanting to get more applications out the door because a lot of these enterprise organizations are trying to fundamentally change their business model. And that really comes down to writing more apps and writing better apps. And that all comes down to how fast you can get it out the door. And the critical facet to accomplish that feat is building in that continuous delivery model. It's pipelines, but it's also the ability to have an agile workforce. And so the technology is an amazing supplement to that. But it isn't a magic bullet and isn't going to give them that opportunity without them doing the work as well.
Are you seeing companies adapting faster to things like Agile, to things like CI/CD?
Absolutely. And what we found in our last survey is that we do a global perception survey, so beyond just our users every year. And we're getting ready to publish the data from the last one, which we just wrapped up about a month ago. Interestingly enough, around the world, we interviewed in 8 different countries. Around the world, the number one or the number two priority, depending on the persona, is continuous delivery for the next year. That is playing a critical role in every organization as they think about what they're going to invest in, but also how they're going to take advantage of those technologies. Yes, the technology is great collectively, but for all of us, I think the opportunity exists in making the best platform for developers, which is really, that's the mantra for Cloud Foundry, is how do we make the best platform for developers?
If we look at vendors versus end users have begun to adopt CI/CD, they've thrown themselves at it. ISVs have been slightly more reticent. We're not seeing major releases of software accelerating from vendors. What do you think is holding up the vendor community?
Digital transformation isn't just solely an end user proposition. It's collectively every company, particularly those that have been around more than 10, 15 years, are adapting to a new market. The technology is changing so quickly. I mean, look at where we are right now. We're at Cloud Native Con and looking at the breadth of projects that now exist within CNCF and how those are continuing to grow. That's a really good indicator of how fast these technologies are coming up and changing and transforming. And I think there's a huge opportunity for us to collectively build on top of that, but also recognize that enterprise adopters, people that are going to use this technology, not just for the technology's sake, but to solve a business problem, is there's a huge opportunity to collectively enable them and enable their long-term success. But I think these are going to become very symbiotic as more enterprise users are using them. They're going to want to invest back in. One of the things we found in Cloud Foundry is 40% of our members are now end users. Companies like Home Depot or American Airlines or TIBCO or Comcast, these are companies that are using it, but they're also now wanting to be part of the open source initiative and are wanting to contribute back. And I think that really speaks volumes to what we think of as an end user are now going to really drive the technology forward. And we're going to see a blurring of lines.
How much do they understand that what they do on premises has to be fed back into the greater community? If we look at where we've gone with commercial projects, companies are happy to work with a commercial distribution of an open source project because anything they do is down to them. Working actually at the community versions becomes much more challenging for many of them. Are you seeing commercial companies staying with the distributions, or are they actually beginning to engage with the community itself?
I'd say both. Most of our end users are using a distribution. We have a small percentage that are just using pure open source, but most are using a distribution. But they're also wanting to be involved in the open source community. It comes back to control. If I want to be in control of my future, if I'm looking to avoid vendor lock-in, what better way to do that? And if I'm using a platform that's really going to shape the future of my company, I want to be part of the conversation about where that goes. I want to be a driver in that. And I think that's an important thing to remember is if every single one of our end users or most of them are citing flexibility and having control as part of the reason they're choosing these technologies, then that means they're going to be wanting to be part of the conversation. And I think that's fantastic.
It's a whole different engagement model for a lot of them, isn't it? They've always been at arm's length.
It's a whole different engagement model, and we're working really closely to see how we can help them be part of that conversation, because a user is going to have invaluable feedback on where that technology needs to go, because they're using it, they're running it, across multiple clouds, they're running it at scale that oftentimes haven't really been previously tested, because think about these enterprises. They're not just running 100 apps or a couple of thousand apps. Some of these are running 10, 20,000 applications. And just think about that scale as they continue to grow and build out. And I think there's a huge opportunity for us collectively to think about how do we enable that long term, that success and that growth. but then taking their feedback back in and really continuing to grow the technology and continue to make sure that it innovates.
Traditional software hasn't really had that engagement. It's been a case of, if you're a very, very large organization, vendors will talk to you. If you're a mid to small size organization, you almost have no representation at all. Are you seeing the community actually realizing that by being part of the community, it creates jobs? By working inside companies, it furthers the community. And then the ISVs coming in, do they understand that they have to now play evenly with everybody? They don't just cherry pick their really big customers.
Well, I hope so. And that's something that's top of mind for us, is that we have a broad range of users. Majority are still large enterprises. A quarter of our users are small to medium businesses. And I think it's important. I think that's the one value that open source can bring to the table, is the democratization of that participation. If you want to participate, you can. You can submit a pull request and you can really help drive and contribute to the tech. For us, we also see that in our communities. We have big companies that are members. We also have very small companies that are members. And we see a tremendous amount of engagement in our community from a lot of the startups that are there and driving a lot of that community-led engagement.
You've done something that a lot of open source communities can't do, and that is you've continued to grow. We tend to see a lot of open source projects reach a point and then they become very stable. You've continued to grow, not just in terms of distributions, but as you say, in terms of end users getting involved. What's the difference between what you're doing and what others are doing?
For us, and for me in particular, I've spent 20 years in tech and all of it's been customer facing. So for me, the user is always central to any theme or anything that I'm doing. And so we're constantly trying to figure out, how do we get users involved? And we realize it's hard. It's hard for a lot of these enterprise organizations to know how to participate in open source. So we're really spending a lot of time to be like, how do we get you involved? How can we help you be part of this conversation? Either is through pull requests or laddering them up to pull requests, but things we can improve in docs or meetups or conversations is really get the users involved in the bigger conversation. It takes a lot of work, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's worth it to have that voice there and to have that open participation, because that's what's going to make the technology better at the end of the day. In fact, we've had two other announcements that we had from Boston were two new certified distributions. SUSE Cloud Application Platform, which was announced last October at SUSEcon, is now a certified distribution. But also, they got certified that a new one is cloud.gov as a certified distribution. And that's important because, one, it's the first federally focused platform to be certified. It's certified by 18F, which is a U.S. federal agency that has built out a distribution of Cloud Foundry that focuses on federal agencies. It's an interesting story about how the government is trying to really be, one, develop cloud-native applications, but two, leveraging a core platform to change that process and change the conversation. Cloud.gov getting certified was really huge for us to really talk about the level of maturity the platform has hit in terms of, is secure enough and stable enough and mature enough to run the government applications on, but they're also a very active member of the community as well.
If we look at web services, one of the promises was that we would actually see industry bodies come in and build web services for their communities. It never happened.
Yeah, we had portals. Don't you remember the portals?
I have nightmares over some of the portals. To be fair, with cloud, we haven't really seen those independent organizations come in either. So this is one of the early cases to me of a very big organization coming in and actually getting involved to this level. Do you see an acceleration starting to occur, or do you think this will actually still take a little while for other big organizations to look at it before they actually join?
I think we're cresting up the slope here. Last year, I talked a lot about imagine the possibility of what we can do and imagining that. And we're here now. I think we're here. We're seeing so many organizations that are running a platform like Cloud Foundry and are developing applications on top of that. And they're this year picking up speed. We saw a huge trend over the last 6 months and between user surveys from organizations that have over 50 developers working on the platform and are running over 500 apps. These are organizations that were proof of concept the last couple of years, but are now like, okay, we're going to run this out and we're going to run this at scale. I don't say that to brag. I say that to really point out the fact that organizations are now really interested in investing heavily in cloud native architectures, and that's where they're moving for the future. So these technologies are not only going to become more relevant, but you're going to see them participate more and be more active in what those technologies need to do, because they're going to start really driving how the technology unfolds, particularly at the services layer.
One of the challenges of suddenly growing your distributions is the risk of drift, because people will add things into a distribution to differentiate themselves. How are you managing that?
Well, we only have 8 certified distributions. I don't ever foresee us having tons and tons, because I think while there are some opportunities for regionality differences, I don't ever see the point of having a ton of distributions. I think there should be tons of opportunity for people to commercialize and differentiate, and we definitely encourage that. I really want everyone to be commercially successful. I'm very open about that. I would like you to be commercially successful and viable, because that is a good sign. But it's not something we're pushing to have tons and tons of distributions. I'd like really good quality ones that continue to adhere to the common upstream and are maintaining that upstream, because at the end of the day, as an open source, you really only have your IP and your trademark. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Been busy year. We've got another year just starting. As I said, you've just had Boston. You've got other conferences coming up. What can we expect to see from you over the next 12 months?
Feels like we're midway through this year at this point. Is it just starting? Because it feels like we're midway through now. So many things. This week here at KubeCon, I'm going to talk a lot about interoperability. Interoperability is a big theme for me this year. Really building bridges and connective tissue to other technologies and projects. What started with us in 2016 with the Open Service Broker API, and last year the work around CNI and OCI, and Kubernetes, we're expanding on that this year. More Kubernetes, Istio, Envoy, CSI, all of these technologies we're really building that connective tissue to, because I think it's important that, to your point, Cloud Foundry continues to grow. It continues to evolve as a technology. And there's a lot of amazing technologies that are being developed, most of which right now sit in CNCF. And as those technologies mature and enterprises want to take advantage of them, it's up to us to figure out how we can fold those in and really make sure that Cloud Foundry continues to shine.
Part of the challenge then of that is going to be full portability, and we've seen that with other projects over the last few years. We've also seen a lot of grown-up thinking around this, the acceptance that if we're going to be portable, if we're going to make this work, and you talk multi-cloud, we have to take a step backwards and we have to adhere to common principles. Are you seeing big buy-in now from everybody in order to advance the multi-cloud agenda?
Oh God, yeah. Multi-cloud has been our talk track since 2016. Multi-cloud is hugely important for us. Cloud Foundry has been multi-cloud since, if not day one, definitely for the last 4 years. It's a huge part of that. We want that flexibility. We want users to be able to choose which cloud, because I think it's a little early in the game for you to make a long-term decision on which cloud you're going to choose. And frankly, your application workloads, you may want to use several different clouds, which we're seeing people use several different clouds. So maybe not just on-prem and a public cloud, but maybe on-prem and two public clouds, or SAP cloud platform that runs on Cloud Foundry. They're running them on all major public clouds. That's important to have that distribution. If you're an end user, you want that flexibility. And if you're a provider, frankly, you also want that flexibility. And so we strive to make sure that we continue to adapt to that.
Sounds like you've got a very busy year coming up. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.